turn onto the hurricane alpha. Good evening, Mamdalad Omad Aleph. So yesterday we worked through basically all the Gemara on Mamdalad Omad Aleph, went through to the bottom of the page, and we ended at the end with the answer for Rashi regarding the Kachalot, meaning to say that you have the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos as to what when we talk about making an oil on Shabbos or Yom Tov, the issue of making an oil, is that vertical or is it horizontal? Is it vertical or horizontal? Is it a roof or is it a wall? So Tosfos holds it can be even a wall, right? As long as it's a mechitza materis, it's a mechitza which is mater and isur. So it would apply to a mechitza as well. Whereas Rashi seemingly holds it only applies when you're talking about a roof. Hence Rashi learns that the kaka chaloin is a skylight, whereas Tosfos learns no, that's called an aruba. Chaloin is in the wall. Then we had Rashi's Mahalik, Tosfos Mahalik in the Gemara and Daf Tzadi Dalet. We had the Machlokes Rashi in different Gersoys, essentially in the Gemara and Sukkah, each one according to their Mahalik. But what we're left over with is, what does Rashi do with our Gemara over here? Our Gemara over here is talking about a wall, and the Gemara says, we've got this whole Machlokes here about, the whole back and forth about when it is and when it's not, because it has been making an oil. And it's clearly talking about Dofer. What does Rashi say to that? So we answered at the end of yesterday's shiur, we said that Rashi maintains his position. The din of Oyel is only regarding a roof, not regarding a mechitza. Right? I see what's going on in the Gemara over here. The teretz is, what is the roof over here we're dealing with? The sechach. What was the sechach put there for? In order to create a selshal mitzvah, right? A sukkah. Kozman, I only have two walls, it's not sechach. It's not serving its purpose. When I put the third wall in place, besides now creating the three walls, I'm also now creating an idol, because now the sechach becomes selshal mitzvah. That is what is going on over here. And we said this is from a Sechel Shabbos stuff, Kuf Chaf Hei, we discussed it there, and we, at the time, we found that the Morgini Shalomah gives us Peshat in Rashi as well, the Eponim Eiris learns like that in Rashi, and the Morgini Shalomah points to this, the Rashi we did towards the end yesterday, the Ba'amas Kabadim and Shalishis, it was that Rashi, where Rashi clearly says that with two walls, it's not considered to be an Oyel. When you build the third wall, that's when you make it into an Oyel.
What's the difference between making an Oyel or point? I mean, what difference make? Boinem is also making an oil. We said, lifting up the wall, even according to Tosfos and everybody, that it's boinem. When we talked about the wall further down.
No, it's about oil.
We said it was an issue of boinem,
right? Oil.
No, but basically when...
Oil comes on the boinem, but...
So everybody's on the same page? So
no, they're not. Comes out that according to Rashi, there's no such thing as an oil if it's a mechitza. And Achanan, if you take out your bricks and you start building a thing, that may be boina. But if you just take a sheet and you create a mechitza with a sheet, according to Rashi, there's no problem with that.
So according to Rashi, if you had two walls, you're talking about just two walls, and you put a tarpaulin in across those two walls, there'd be no issue of oil?
Of course there would be.
There's nothing to do with sukkah. What's the difference between putting a sheet over and having
Because when you put the sheet over, you're doing it in order to create an oil for whatever you want to put underneath. Over here, the sukkah, I'm not doing it for anything other than Zal Shal Mitzvah.
Surely it's dual purpose, the sukkah is...
No. If I put it there for a Zal Shal Mitzvah, that's why you have to push it up, you know, if it's been there for more than 30 days.
Right. So surely therefore the Sefer
Tel Shemitza,
even with when you have two walls.
Yeah, I like it. That's what I put it there for. Same as we talked about, you know, a tabletop, for example. To put a table on is not a problem, unless you're planning to, you're putting it there because you want to put stuff underneath the table. If you're only doing it in order to be able to eat on top, it's not a problem. But there is stuff underneath. There is space underneath. So what? That's not an oil.
Would that really
be an oil? Use it without a tabletop. Tablecloth? No, it's a tabletop.
Yeah, the tabletop. What's the difference if the tablecloth's on it or is just a table?
No, tabletop. Tabletop. As in, if you put a tabletop, you put it on top of the side of ayah, but only it makes a difference whether you're planning to put stuff underneath or not.
Okay.
Right? The definition, ayah is for what's underneath. And therefore, it comes out that is Peshat and Rashi, and it's based on the Rai brings us from this Rashi that we did towards the end of our Masa Kobe Levin Shadishis, where he says, two walls, Mishkan ayah. You build a third wall, that's Mashrile ayah, because it makes it into a kosher sukkah, that's what makes it into an ayah. But not the third wall. Mashvi lay oyel, it makes the sakat into an oyel. Very, very meduyuk, and that's the mahalich lefi Rashi. Halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? Paskin like Tosis.
Just trouble. Directly behind you, the Mishnah Berurah. One up. Yeah, Chedek Gimel. Third one along. That one, yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. So we paskin. Thank you.
We paskin we paskin like Tosis, correct? So just very briefly again, we did it in more detail in Masechta Shabbos. So I'm not going to go through all the halakhos again, but we take on, as we said, we take on like Tosis, right? I got with Kachalim, by the way, we take on like the Rabbon, as happens, but just find it over here. Yeah, Stimashin Test 12. So it's an issa to make an oil b'Shabbos and Yom Tov, even if it's just temporary. V'dafke gag, dafke if it is a roof. Avol bat mechitzos muta. That Rashi, Tosus. Sounds like Rashi so far. So it's a machaber, ve'im mechitza sura, elim kein asis lahatir sukkah, lahatir tiltu. That's Tosus. Ve'im mechitza asura, elim kein, na'aseis lahatir sukkah, lahatir tiltu. To make a mechitza is only also if it's being matir a sukkah or allowing carrying.
I thought we said that's the answer for Rashi.
No, because the first part would be all right, the Hatir Sukkah, but Rashi wouldn't forbid the Hatir Tiltu. If you're doing it just to allow carrying, that wouldn't be an Esau point to Rashi. Oh. That's the very case in Daf Tzadi Dalet, that Rashi has to give the whole Peshat over there. The case in Sukkah as well, carrying the Sefer Torah. Rashi learns it's only if there's a roof. When you're being Matir carrying, there's nothing to do with the roof. Sukkah, okay, we've got this whole Peshat here because of the Sukkah. So therefore, that is... And that's the way we pass it. Like Tosus, only what we call a mechitza materis. The only thing is, mechitza materis is much more limited than you actually would think. As the Ramah goes on, litznius, if you're only doing it for litznius for privacy purposes, no problem. That's the Gemara. That's the Mefurash Gemara Daf Tzadi Dalet. That's all right. You're doing it just for privacy purposes. So therefore, you're allowed to put up a curtain, just a door. You know, you've got a door there. And well, there isn't a door there, so you can put a curtain there, no problem. He says, even though it's fixed there, poroches, same thing. As long as it's not going to make a gagam and ohel, you know, damn it as an overhang, that's perfectly fine. You can make a mechitza in front of the sun, protect from the cold, or to stop the candles being blown out. Right? Says there are more, and this is where it's Abel. Osur lasis mechitza bifnei oran ner kedishi yishamish mitosu. That's quite an interesting one. It says it's osur to make a mechitza in front of a ner, right? If a husband and wife are together, right? Let's say Friday night. So if there's a light on there or there's a candle or something like that, so to make a mechitza in front of it, that would be, the Ramah says, would be forbidden. Why? Because without it, it's osur lishamish mitosu. right? So it's a mechitza ma'aseres. Not everyone agrees. Some say that is not a mechitza ma'aseres. Well, it's being matter and issa.
Not matter, it's a matter allowing you to do something.
Being matter and issa. No, it's only being matter and issa. Mechitza matter is being matter and issa.
Yeah, well, that's okay, yes, because that's only what would allow you.
That's how the Mishnah Berurah touched it. They came on the Osel Shamish Bifnei Aranair, or if there's foreign there, same idea. That would be considered mechitza materis. But he says, the Morgan Avraham says, that is dafka if you make a mechitza which is 10 tefachim high, and the ner is higher than that. Because again, there's two ways of dealing with this. One is to simply make a mechitza in front of it to block out the light.
Yeah?
That's not a mechitza materis. That's just effectively like covering the light. It's not a mechitza materis. If one were to make a mechitza 10 tefachim high, but the light can be seen over the top of it, that's a mechitza ma'aseres, because the light can still be seen, and me'ika adin, it's mutter now, because it's like light from a different room. Api al-locha, what's about api al-locha? This still is in Yomim not to, but that's the so the same idea with the sforim, the same idea, depends on whether the sforim can be seen from behind, etc. So that is a very, very important hakdama to perhaps the most common shayla on Shabbos, which is going to be a mechitza and a shul. Is that mutar or also on Shabbos? No, that we already mentioned last time. That is not going to be a heter. That is not a heter if it's a movable mechitza like that. If it's on hinges or something like that, that's perfectly fine. Anything which is on hinges, you can. There's no problem about it.
If you're Moses,
it's already. So that's the same idea. But if you're bringing a mechitza just because it's on wheels, but it was kept in some cupboard or in a different room, and you bring it in and put it in place here, that's making a mechitza to start with. Is it a mechitza materis or not?
No.
You would have thought.
Yeah.
I would have thought as well. Mechitza materis.
Yeah, as a kiddush, or it's
only
in
shul davening. Okay, let's say kiddush, let's say a drosha, let's say a shul.
I thought the other two probably better.
Whichever one you want, so tell me what you think. And then you can have after Sheva Brachos. Sheva Brachos, again, I don't know how many people keep this one, but Me'ekah Adin, in order to be able to say Shasim Chod B'Meni, you need to be able, you have to have a Mechitza.
Even if it's
a Nazi.
What's the rub? Trying to. Are you saying that if we had women and men in a shul without a mechitza, then you could carry on davening? And it's not a nissa, i.e., they're separated without a mechitza.
Say again?
I'm saying, it's about trying to say that if you had no mechitza in a shul, but the women were at the back, let's say you forgot to put the mechitza out, and you could daven in that atmosphere, halachically.
No, I'm asking the shayla.
No, what I'm saying is, it was to bring in a mechitza from an area which is not in the shul, or to just carry on davening without mechitza.
First thing first is there if
that would answer whether it's a mechitza materis or not. That would answer the shayla.
Zicha, you're not supposed to daven Ad Kadei Kach. There are people, maybe very, very from. They won't daven in certain shuls because they're not very impressed with the mechitza.
You go to a shiva house, and the only thing they can announce at the beginning of davening is, could the women please go to the back?
Shiva house promotion, I think Ramosha's got a shiva. They talk about it. Depends on if there's only a few women as well. Ramosha's, Rav Moshe, when it comes to mechitzas, he's got min hakotza al hakotza. He holds where you're mechuyev to have a mechitza, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa.
Well, then you should be able
to. One second, right?
Okay.
So, for example, at a, where does a chiyuv to have a mechitza? He holds it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. However, he's got certain kudas as well, right? Which some people don't like to hear the kudas, the kudas in today's generation. But I'm not chas v'shalom. I'm not. But the nice that the family say they were definitely that was the way he went, and he held that if it's a public thing as a chiyuv for a mechitza, and therefore they say that his personal opinion, although he definitely held it's a good thing to have at weddings, there should be a proper mechitza throughout, not just for the dancing, he held me'ikar, then it's not necessary.
At weddings,
yeah. And because he said that has a din of a private celebration. I think he has a tshuva, but the zikra that others say, if you have a whole minion of women, it could be as different. He held it says just a few women, but one or two women at the back, he says, if they stand at the back, it's not, there's no din, you have to have a mechitza.
There's no concept of a
binyan.
No.
I don't know if it, maybe I shouldn't say a minyan. If it's just a few women who are standing at the back, in a shiva house, he held, as far as I know, if it's not him, there's definitely somebody who says well, that's not a problem.
What about
Chuppah, zikha, no, the kimat, no one has a chuppah there.
Well, I'm saying,
no one has a mechitza there.
Nobody has a
mechitza.
In a chalam. So
even the Bobov
didn't have a
mechitza. Even
Bobov, oh, they did turn the women back into a little bit, but it wasn't. Would that help any case to say that you could daven without a mechitza? Which being the case, if you put one out.
I'm trying
to generalize what's more important than bring the mechitza out from somewhere where it's locked up. Or carry on davening without.
No, so it's like this. The first thing is to realize that davening is going to be maybe the most we think of as an actual issa. When it's a drosha or at a kiddush or something like that, there the main point of it is to create a hekka. These are the women, these are the men, right? You know, try men stay this side, women that side, whichever way around you want. That's the idea behind it. And therefore, you can have it 20 spokim up, right? You know, as they say I think it was at one of the Knesia Skedolis, they went to there was a whole to do with the Hasidim and said, you know, the mechitza for the women has to go all the way up to the ceiling.
Is it and no,
Knesia at the Knesia itself, where but they decided to ask the Chofetz Chaim because others said, no, that's ridiculous, you can't see over the top anyway. And they went to the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim said, when it comes to these sort of inyonim, he says, there's no such thing as saying it's enough. He says, again, it's a hashkofa, it's not a halacha. Halachically, you're right, but hashkofa, that was already in those days, right? So, therefore.
What is the
hashkofa
up to soon?
He says, when it comes to the Yetzirah, never think, I've done enough, I've never done enough. Do everything you can. The Yetzirah is so crafty, I'm using my words, but the Yetzirah is so crafty. Don't ever think, you know, now it's impossible, it's impenetrable, whatever, right? It's, the Yetzer Hara has always got ways around, so everything you can do, you should do. It was Ashkofa, I don't think it was a halachic response. Me'ekah, then you're right. I'm saying that just as you should realize that, okay? It's something to aspire to, but halachodik is what we're discussing here. And me'ekah, then, the place can say, the main point is, you can have three tefachim high. That shows men here, women here. And therefore, that being the case, there is no problem of setting up such a mechitza on Shabbos. That is for sure.
Which is like three tefachim, that's for.
No, just another three tefachim. It's just a way of showing. It's a hefker.
Yeah, well, you don't need a mechitza.
Correct. Now the question is, what about in a shul? Because in a shul, Mick, really, you're not allowed to daven there. Ad kedei kach, as I said to you, there are those who, even in some, call it from shuls, etc., they're not happy with the mechitzas, right? And therefore, they wouldn't daven there bechal, whether there's women or there's not women. Because a shul has to have a mechitza, finished! So on this, is an interesting. I tried to look the little bit I did see, the Svara, why, as far as I'm aware, it's Mutter. I don't think anyone says it's awesome. The question is why? They say like this. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you were to put up a mechitza, which is... I haven't said the question yet. Right? Let's say you put up a mechitza, which is 10 tefachim high. Right? 10 tefachim high. There's women who are inappropriately dressed, right? The mechitza is 4 tefachim. Why 10 tefachim high? Make out that's a mechitza, correct? Mm-hmm. But there's women, the mice you're standing here, you can see the women. You can't... are you allowed to stop like that?
No.
Oh. So in which case, really the mechitza over here is really, it has to be a kisu. It has to be a cover. It's not, it doesn't have a shame mechitza. That's what they want to argue. Oh, so this is the question. I'm also wondering the same thing, because let me ask you a question. Let's say the women were not inappropriately dressed. Right? So then, you say, well, you're going to say, make out, you don't need a mechitza at all?
No, you need a mechitza.
But then 10 tefachim.
But you have a dress problem.
Correct, but then in which case the mechitza becomes a mechitza martelis, no?
Yes, precisely.
Isn't it like the case of the candle over here? Candle on the Svara? Because again, with the candle, there's two ways to do it. One way is to make the mechitza higher. I mean, this is going to be the chiddush between the two, but it's... let me just first speak it out. With the case of the candle, or the svarim in the room. So there's two ways of dealing with it. Either you do something which effectively is like making the svarim in a different room, and the nair in a different room, or you do something which is blocking out the light. Now, strictly speaking, you may say, but even when I block out the light, look at the size of it, it's definitely a mechitza, it's a kosher mechitza, and therefore it's in the other room, you're doing both. Correct. It says the Magen Avraham, when you block out the light, I can say it's not a mechitza materas, it's just a covering. I don't need a mechitza. It's not shut that with it's an itza. I could equally do that by taking a cover and creating a. Because remember, to be a mechitza, it has to be a halachic mechitza. That means if it blows in the wind, if it's not secured at the bottom. That Mr. Burrow says that's not a problem with mechitza. It's got to be a halachic mechitza. Okay. So when it comes to, for example, that's a good example. I'll come back to remind me in a second when we come back to the mechitzah between men and women. So with the case of a ner, there's two ways to do it. Either you create a halakhic mechitzah, but then in which case, you're right, the ner could be seen, but then it has to be secured at the bottom and the top, like you said the other day, it can't flap around too much, right? Otherwise it doesn't work. If, however, you make it really high, so now the ner can't be seen, then it could flap around all you want. I couldn't care less. If I can't see the nair, then it's not a problem. Aye, but you'll tell me, but I did secure it at the bottom and the top. Okay, that's not a mechitza matter. It's not the mechitza which is being martyred, it's the cover that's being martyred. So the Magen Avraham, that's all right. Now, when it comes to the case of with women, right? If you've got women who are not appropriately dressed, there is only one solution. And that is,
it has to be a covering.
So therefore you see, they want to say from that, you see that it's not really a mechitza that I need, I really need a covering.
And if they are appropriately dressed, do you need a covering still?
I don't know, that's a good question. What would happen? I mean, I don't think anyone will tell you need to have a mechitza. Probably they will tell you then it's a heker, you're back to heker. If there's no chashash of them being inappropriately dressed, then me'ikar adin, I just need a heker to show men, women. Me'ikar adin, there's no problem with me seeing the women on the other side of the mechitza, right? So then, in which case, it's not a din of mechitza. For example, it doesn't have to be secured at the bottom. Right? It can flap around.
With the nair, you can just have mechitza, and the nair can be.
And that's fine. Again, that's why I said we're talking about halachic to be in the Mishmur. Even mentions the shloah is mashmal. Meikah din. For example, what happens if? What happens? Fine. There's no light in the room, but there's room. There's a light on in the hallway. So it, there's a light under the door. So again, me ikar din. There it's even more meikul. Why? Because the light's not shining per se on anything. You can see the light if you look at the door. So again, there's a big Indian in it. There is a big Indian, in, you know, as far as is humanly possible. But that already becomes more. There's also more from Kabbalistic reasons and things like that. From the halachic, strict halachic perspective. If the light is not in the room, even though you're right, from the logic behind it, is Shema Yireh Dov HaMechor, right? Maybe you'll see something which is, it'll lead to, you'll see something and it'll lead to the opposite of what happened to the Reichel Kamei. You're right, from a logical, but the halacha is only light in the room. That's the, even though you're right, logically, it's Hechocha Meino Bereshi Zecha, but it's not Al Issa at that point.
So what about if the lady dressed like a burqa? You don't see anything. Do you need to put in a hetzah?
So this is what we're saying. It's not a mechitza, it's a hechah.
But there's
a din. Yeah, there's a din that men and women shouldn't be together.
In the same room.
No. It's more the Gemara in Sukkah. Like you're saying, the Gemara in Sukkah, there shouldn't be intermingling. Because even b'shas haheskel, right? The Gemara talks about even b'shas haheskel. You see what it can lead to.
Yeah, but you use the lady for the haheskel. Again, it's not.
I don't think.
Normal
davening, it's just being a case of telling. But again, a kosher mechitza, is it a mechitza materas? Or it's a hecker between them? Again, I'm asking you,
you
good?
If you're davening, you never room together without a
mechitza.
And
the answer is
no, I think. You could have
covenant,
not
necessary
to that, but otherwise.
Again, me ekadin. If, like you said, all the women are dressed in burqas, right? I don't think you want to daven there, but okay, if they were, if they were dressed, right? Truth is, in that case, you'd have to, you'd have to put up a thing, because they say that's the height of lack of tznius, actually, you shouldn't have.
What is? You're overdoing it.
Yeah.
I was going to say you don't know they're women.
No, because they say it attracts the sound. I'm not joking. They say it's the height of lack of.
You could say
I'm old, if you that. Tell me, but they'll say, if you were to tell me, I'm old, you know, normal zogging, they'll tell you, yeah, but that was the way if you go back 1,000 years, fine, it was normal at that time. Today, Rav Falk is very big in this sort of thing. Some of the people think, from a sneer's point of view, on the contrary, you're covering up, you know, it's the ultimate. He says, if in that place it's abnormal what you're doing, even though from a logical perspective,
look,
if it's going to attract attention, then you're doing the opposite. That's not sneers. If it's going to attract attention because you're being abnormal, that's it, the opposite. So all these burqas, etc., it's a lack, it's the opposite.
Well, no, that's a normal thing, isn't it?
Huh?
They're not
in these communities.
Well, no, in London, some.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You wouldn't know if they're Jewish or not. Okay. So, but in all seriousness, if there was no sneers issues, right? I don't know. It's a good question. Me ikar din. I have to look into this thing about the shiur house again. I don't think me ikar din. I know I'm scared to say the wrong thing, but it could be me ikar din. There isn't an issue.
You're
saying maybe Ramosha's whole shit.
Right,
you see, as it happens. You see, the thing is that I'd have to look up. I think no, but one thing I believe Ramosha, I think is if I'm not mistaken, I think he's more makel on the idea. If you've got a mechitza which is 10 tefachim high, me'ikar, then you can daven there. Even though you can see the women over the top.
That's what I would have thought. Actually.
Yeah, I think Ramosha was like that. And I think that's no, that's what they rely on. No, they are not.
Where?
Radi Kos?
Because
they've got the lower part is very much solid. And then after that, it's all.
Trestle.
Yeah.
But the trestle was in.
You're saying trestle is because it's lobbered. No, but that you see, that is already. I can imagine that's why Ginsberg using Chochma, that sort of thing, right? Because in other words, he's not going to be able to push to say, you know, we're going to have it solid there. So, make out that you've got lobbered and things like that. In other words, you've got to.
From the trestle up.
No, so it's correct. Correct. So once you've got the 10 tefachim, he's already got that. But you don't want to rely just on that.
No, but it doesn't help you because it was the same amount of gap as there was solid.
Was there?
Well, if trestle is built, it's made like
that. No, but you're around 3 tefachim. If you're around 3 tefachim, it's fine.
You are, even if it's more gap than.
Doesn't make a difference. Yeah, we had that earlier in Eremit.
so then
you better look back. If it's less than three tefachim, even if the poritz is merubah la'omid, it's all right. Think about it, when you make a mechitza with ropes, put a rope.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
But I have another question here. You're talking about ladies, okay? We were talking about the Gemara, the Kohenot. So, Kol Ba'ei She'arba, how are they allowed it anyway? To make the people cry. You see, there was the Kohenot, even they're hiding, but still they use the lady for something.
Mechitza won't help you, Mr. Mitzad. Just to summarize, again, we have to. I actually want to try and see if I can get a little bit more clarity, especially on Ramosha Shitta. I think others may argue that the point is like this: when it comes to a mechitza in a shul, then if there's a chashash that people are not going to be dressed appropriately, then it's not a mechitza you need. It's a kitzi that you need. It's a covering that you need. And therefore, even if you've got a halachic mechitza there, that doesn't make a difference. It's not the mechitza ha'teres, it's a kitzi. It'll be exactly the same as this. If, however, you say, but yeah, the women are appropriately dressed, so I'm only putting a mechitza there, which is 10 tefachim high. Now, is that not a mechitza ha'teres? If it was 9 tefachim high, you'd be able to daven in that shul? Well, this is what we'll have to check. We'll have to check. Me'ikadim, we'll have to check that. Because if not, then what's taka b'shach? Why would you be allowed to put up such a mechitza on Shabbos? You shouldn't be able to put up such a mechitza on Shabbos. Huh? As far as I know, the poskim are allowed. The one, they don't speak about it clear here, but I think they allow putting up a mechitza. I want to double check. I don't want to say the wrong thing. There are definitely those who allow it based on the hesbah I gave before. They understand it's a kisru. The question is, what would they say if the women are appropriately dressed? Then, so do you need a mechitza or you don't need a mechitza? But as I said to you, I wonder. Even then, that again, I believe, I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I wonder whether anyone would tell you, right, that it has to be secured at the bottom.
But you can never guarantee that women will be appropriate.
In a chalami, in which case it's back to kisru.
You have to consider that maybe everybody there at the moment is appropriately dressed, so we don't need to bring them
a chalami.
But then 5 minutes later.
In a chalami, but again, the question is, let's say I don't have that problem. Let's say I don't have that problem. Would it be enough to put three tefachim there? Would that be enough? So let me get out. I'm not talking about whether it's advisable, like I said before. I'm just talking about, are you allowed to daven in such a place?
What's the street for? Is this the heker?
Yeah.
I don't never. I still don't talk into the creature. When we talk about a covering, is that the intended that you have to have it? It's just it's totally inappropriate to have women who are inappropriately dressed.
No, then again, you wouldn't be allowed to daven there. It'd be an issa to daven there, even if it's 10 tefachim high. Yeah. Although you could argue, the only thing is you could say that. Let me ask you a question: is it again ikar din? Not you got your person's got to leave out their kanos, even though we're right, parshas Pinchas here. Me'ikadim, don't go quoting me on this one, right? But if you got in such a place, right, you say, you know what, the women are all davening behind, so I'm going to be very careful, I'll take off my glasses, I'm going to face forward, I won't look back at all, I'm a cover as I walk in. If I'm not facing the Erevah,
yeah.
You're facing the opposite way, completely
I'm
facing the opposite way.
No,
so I'm saying in that case, like you said, if I've got the 10 tefachim there, it's also daven there. Again, avada it's not a good thing, and probably a rov would tell you if you're a frum good guy, you shouldn't daven there because you can never trust the Yitzhar. But I'm saying, if I was to daven, have I done an issa?
You can face away. That is halakhically allowed to face away.
So this is
an example. If there was a chuppah where the bride wasn't dressed appropriately, the rob would never do a busha for the bride, but he'll turn to the side.
If that apparently look at any pictures, so if you look at the picture of the Mincha Selozra, the Heilige Munk Chacha, any chup you'll see where he was Masada Kedushin. Yes, this is what I heard. I tell you, told me this. Rakov from Northern Iraq. You always see him as a.
Right,
but why? See, he said this is what Northern Rakov told me. He said because it was completely standing. All, even in the corner of the frum circles there, they said that the pre-war people have this. This is what Victor Miller's whole thing. People, he tried to dispel this. He said pre-war people tried to deny it. He says that in Brisk, for example, right? In Brisk, you think of Brisk. He says there were. Do you know how many really frum families there were? It was not much more than a handful. The vast majority of Brisk were not very frum. Let's put it that way, right? Maybe I don't know exactly what, but they say I don't know which Hasidic Rebbe, but it was a very standard thing in times of old. The Rebbe used to fear his tish off on Friday night, yeah, and he used to drag it on because his wife used to go to the theater or whatever it was. See, there was something to do with that. So he dragged on until she was finished or something like that, right? It was a completely different world. It was a very different.
That follows through to be able to turn.
So I'm saying, he said, you shouldn't look at maybe these part of the picture, but he said you'll see this. It was a style then. Call it a style. That was a perfectly normal thing. That the neckline was very, very low. Let's put it that way. So like you said, what was he going to do? He obviously felt there was nothing. It wasn't nothing he could do about it. So he's not going to embarrass the writers. Yeah. I was like, it's not ideal. It's better if you can turn away. But if that doesn't work, that's the last resort. And I was like, yeah. Okay.
True, if you take your glasses off,
me, I wouldn't be able to see a thing.
No, I'm just saying to you, it's no difference from having a cover. If you can't see, it's like putting a balaclava over your yellow. You can't see.
He may have not been that short-sighted. It depends on how short-sighted that is. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Chofetz Chaim, when he was very elderly and he couldn't hear, and they wanted him to get him hearing aid. Said, my whole life I've tried to, you know, I've been running away from hearing Lashon Hara. He says, now I've got a spark who's given, you know, made it easy, he wouldn't take it. Despite that, like you're saying, with all the difficulties that came with it, right? There's nothing to do with Shabbos. Nothing to do with Shabbos during the week. The Chofetz Chaim. That was the Chofetz Chaim. He lived. Okay, fine. We'll try and clarify that still. We'll try and clarify it a little bit more. But okay, we're now up to this passage. Demar Master Rabbi Meir de Kapostel Hoson Alma Lav Mechitzi. Okay, so we finished the Gemara at the end of the Omid yesterday, and now this passage goes back. Really, on the what I call stage number 2 of the Gemara. Remember, we have the stira between the two brises. One brisa that says if you've got a breach in the wall of the sukkah, you can't put there the behemoth, the odom, the kelim, can't put anything in there. The other brisa that says you can. And we want to know what's going on. One brisa allows, one doesn't. How do we reconcile that? So the Gemara initially wanted to reconcile it by bringing Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Eliezer, to be motive on an oil arai is problematic. According to Rabbanon, it's mutter. And we believe that this was a case of being motif on an OLRI. How to even touch that? Rashi did seem to touch it, but because it's not doing anything, according to Rabbi Meir, Right. So the Gemara rejected that pshat. I skipped it, right? The Gemara rejected that pshat because it says, this is not being motif on an OL. This is making an oil a chatzchila because you don't have a kosher sukkah. Now you're making a kosher sukkah. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, let's move on. Stage number 2. Suggestion number 2 is Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, who says that an animal is no good as a mechita, why? Because it may run away. So therefore, sometimes put it over there. You're not achieving anything. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, you are achieving something. You're being machshir the sukkah, and ever since you're being machshir the sukkah, don't do it on a Shabbos or Yom Tov, right? Says Tosfos, Rabbi Meir de Korpostil Hosom Amar Lav Mechitzei. Rabbi Meir who puzzles it over there, so you see that he holds it's not a mechitza. Ask the Gemara. Says Tosfos, Hashta Boy Lameima. Now we want to say the Iri B'Zeifin Shalishes. So we're talking about the third wall of the sukkah. So I've got two walls, the third wall has collapsed, and I want to build the third wall using an animal, a human being, or kelim. Afilu hachi, even so, lo choshiv elo tosefes ba'almo le Rabbi Meir de Kapostel. According to Rabbi Meir, who puzzles such a mechitza, an animal is no good as a mechitza, therefore, lo choshiv elo tosefes, it's only considered to be adding on. Okay? Very interesting havamina, because being motiv, and Rashi says, why is it being motiv? Because you're not achieving anything. That's why it's being motiv. It's Ola Rise. Based on, he says, Gorish. So Tosfos for kosher, but it's difficult. Hakotoni behedya, because it does teach explicitly in that brisa, Hotam over there, the one which allows you to put it there, and it says, why am I putting it there? Kedei sheyishta beyochal beyoshein, in order that one can drink, eat, or sleep. It says very clear. So if you're not achieving that, then what are you doing? It's very clear that we're talking about you are achieving something. I want to be able to eat, sleep, or drink that. So Bekuntras Pirish, so Rashi explains, the Havon Motzi the Mifras, yeah, you could have asked that question. Ero just Belavoki Porek Shapi, it anyway asks Shtarker Kashas. The Maita, I just want to be most of one little Makuda, and that is, because I don't know about you, the thing which is really, should be, I find bothering is, you know, it's one thing when you say, look, I've got three kashas I could have asked, I picked two, no, I could have picked that one, but this is the most basic kasha. It just stares you in the face, it doesn't make any sense. If you remember, right, was it a day or two, Mr. Israel, we were struggling, just you can't even read it, right? So, Levisa, the Ritzvah brings a Pasha, which he rejects, but then he says, maybe you could say this as, like, why he chose not to ask it. Maybe I don't know if that's what he means, but we could say this in Rashi. And that is that, although it's definitely not mashma like that, and therefore you wouldn't really get away with answering this, but it's not the strongest kasha, you know why? Because if you were to ask me, I'd say, you know what, we're not talking about on Sukkos. I know you're going to say that's a really a cop-out answer and things like that, but the Gemara says in Sukkah, we have cases there where it's talking about Sukkah, the one with the Rebbe Eliezer there, and it says, we're not talking about Sukkah, we're talking about on a different Yom Tov. Shabbos, I want a bit of privacy. If that was your only question, I'd say we're talking about, I want to be able to eat there in privacy. It's a hut. It's a Sukkah, it's a hut. And therefore, that's why we don't ask that as the main kasha. It's, you're right, it's not a very satisfactory answer to say we're not to answer, because that's zikha, not the mashmoz. But if that was the kasha you're going to ask me, I could push you down. The question is, what about the other two, whether that would, whether you'd have that problem or not? I've run out of time, but Be'ez Hashem, we'll do this tosfos tomorrow.